To answer is human. To question is divine. Welcome to the world of the Hidden Gateway, an exhilarating podcast exploring the concepts humans have been struggling with since the dawn of existence, such as, who are we? Is there such a thing as good and evil, or are they arbitrary constructs? Does the paranormal exist? How can we evolve to a higher state? Can our mind influence what we term as reality? Providing a transcendental approach combined with hard-nosed humanistic analysis, we invite you on a journey to question your worldview in this theater of life. Join our host, Justin Williams, as he explores the outer realms of faith, the supernatural, human potential, and even our concepts of the universal creator with a fascinating array of guests. This is the unseen world, magical, mysterious, and mystical, where your only limitation is your imagination. This is the Hidden Gateway.
Welcome to another episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. I'm your host, Justin Williams, and today's guest is Alex Sakaris. Alex is a successful entrepreneur turned science podcaster. In 2007, Alex launched Skeptico. Skeptico has become the number one podcast covering the science of human consciousness with millions of downloads and thousands of listeners worldwide. The Skeptico podcast covers a wide range of discussions, everything from near-death experiences, remote viewing, spirituality, and even conspiracy theories.
Hell yes.
Alex himself has appeared on many popular syndicated radio talk shows and podcasts and is well known within the parapsychology and near-death experience research communities. He also has authored two books, Why Science is Wrong About Almost Everything, and his most recent, Why Evil Matters. That should be interesting. Alex, thank you for being on the Hidden Gateway podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to it. You know, Justin, we were just chatting that, I like your show. I like how it's, you contacted me pretty early. I like how it's evolved. And then you kind of turned me on to the Hemisync stuff, which is, I want to hear more about because I've been hearing about it for years and I never really pulled the trigger. And you, my friend, gave me the impetus to kind of download the app and say, okay, let me experience it a little bit. So
yeah.
We'll have a good chat.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, we will. Yeah, that Hemisync, I tell you, it's been life changing for me. So, but enough about me, man. Let's talk about you. Who is Alex, man? Who are you, man? What do you do? Tell me about Skeptico. Let everybody know what you're about and who you are, all that good stuff.
Well, it is kind of fun talking to you, you know, because you're starting your show and you're kind of sharing a lot of the things. We're chatting a little bit. I so remember, you know, starting out and just knowing that I felt like I wanted to do it. And then what I really thought was really neat about what you just said is that you've been getting a lot of just personal satisfaction from it. And I did too. And I still do. I've always been about self-development. I've always been about growth, you know, and, whether in business, you know, I was the guy reading all the books because even though I went to school, I found I wasn't doing so well in business. And then I started reading, you know, the guys who, you know, said, here's how you actually do make money. You know, here's how you think and grow rich. Here are the 7 habits of highly effective people. Here's how you walk on all that stuff. That right. became my thing. And I learned myself into being reasonably successful in business. So when I came over to podcasting, I took kind of that same dive in approach, you know, which I can learn, you know, let me just read the books, talk to the people, and I will learn myself into what I wanted to know, which was, you know, like you say at the intro to your show, you know, I mean, heck, let's get to the big stuff. Who are we? Why are we here? Right. How does this whole thing fit together? And how can I be, you know, maybe a little bit more effective at, because those are the big questions, right? I mean, those are right. The big ones. So cool. It's exciting. It's exciting to talk to a guy who's starting out the journey like you are and having results.
Thank you. Thank you. So one thing I want to ask about what you said, you were a successful entrepreneur, successful businessman. You started the podcast. Why the flip? I mean, I understand that you want to.
No, man. You know, it's like, and I don't know if you can relate to this, cause I don't know your personal experience, your work experience, your career experience in that. But for me, it was the opposite. You know, if I could have started, I always had, you know, I had started, I was a tech guy, you know, so I tech guy and then an MBA, but I didn't want to do any of that stuff. But, you know, the way I was raised, I was pretty success oriented. And I was competing with my brother, you know, that
right. thing
my big brother's yeah, like, yeah. he ain't getting ahead of me, you know, I got uh-huh. it. So that was the drive, was just, you know, just like, hey, man, you got to succeed or you're nothing, you know. But meanwhile, I'm doing like correspondence, yoga classes with Yogananda, you know, and I was interested in the spiritual from the beginning, but I felt like the boulder I had to push up the hill first to get it out of the way was to achieve some degree of, you know, what my family perceived as, you get what I'm saying, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I can definitely relate. My parents pushed me to be successful. And, you know, it was like no options, right? You got to do this. You got to do that. You know,
Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. I get it.
Thanksgiving. Exactly. You don't want to show up, you know, when you're passing the stuff around and someone says, so Justin,
So let's talk about your show, man. So, you know, I've been on your website, great website, and you have a ton of content on there. I mean, what is it? Literally hundreds of interviews you've done over the years. And I noticed that you have them broken down into 5 sections, right? I saw the near-death experiences, parapsychology, spirituality, skepticism, and then you have another category that's labeled other. Out of those different categories, which area do you enjoy the most and why? What area seems to really, really do it for you?
Well, it's more like a progressive kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So I started more in the parapsychology end, primarily because I guess I was kind of playing it safe. I mean, if I could have, my deepest interest was spirituality, coming at it from a scientific angle, like wanting to know, is any of this stuff true? Because I felt like the atheism stuff was bullshit, but I couldn't prove it. And that was what was really nagging me, was like, I think these guys are full of it. And, but I want to be able to really be grounded in the science to prove it. So to me, the closest thing was parapsychology, like ESP, you know, all that kind of stuff. So Dean Radin, Rupert Sheldrake, and I was super fortunate. I started a conversation with Rupert Sheldrake. Have you ever heard of Rupert Sheldrake?
From your website. Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. I mean, so Rupert Sheldrake, you know, name like Rupert, where is he from? He's from England, you know? I mean, nobody named Rupert.
Rupert.
Cambridge biologist. You know, kind of a button down guy. Uh-huh. And you know how they're kind of tight over there. And, you know, Cambridge biology, PhD, published in Nature. I mean, you got it, you know. So he starts bold enough to just start going, hey, I start seeing some stuff that doesn't fit in the normal, you know, paradigm of what other people are talking about here. And I'm just brave enough to go investigate it. Like one of the things, Justin, I spent a lot of time on this on the show. I can't tell how many episodes I did on this, but I did a lot because I really wanted to dig into it at the deepest detail. But dogs that know when their owners are coming home.
Yes.
So okay. he starts getting, and he takes it again, you know, you got to listen to the guy because he's so learned, but also kind of tight and, you know, Cambridge biologist all the way. All right, he goes, okay. He starts getting reports of dogs that their owners say, hey, my wife is at home. And she says, I know when you're coming home 15 minutes before you get there, because the dog is at the door. And this is a guy who like drives a delivery truck, you know, and you never know when he's coming home, or he's a plumber or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Dog is there 15 minutes, can't be hearing it, can't be anything else. So he decides to investigate that. And as he points out, he goes, that's what science does. It observes an observable phenomenon, and then it tries to investigate it in a scientific way. So he does this, and he finds this psychic freaking dog, this one in particular that he studies a lot. And this dog reliably knows when the owner's coming home. So he does a test. He puts the video in the car, and he puts the video in the house. He sends the woman out, and at random times that only he knows, he calls her up and says, okay, come home. And then he, as soon as she has the intention, as soon as she sends that internal message of love connection to that dog, whatever that means, we don't know, but the dog goes to the door, you know? So that's like one Rupert Sheldrake thing. And then what really pulled me into it is there was this other British guy, Richard Wiseman. Okay. And Richard Wiseman would be kind of like the Neil deGrasse Tyson of Britain, in that he is the face of science. You know, you need a science quote, go to Richard Wiseman. Very smirky, very know-it-all, very anti anything, not straight laced about science. So he starts attacking Sheldrake, and he says his work, and even though Sheldrake has kind of twice the qualifications, Wiseman starts making hay with, you know, hey, he doesn't know what he's doing. Of course, the same thing we've heard for years and years from people who are quote unquote skeptics. So this is kind of my indoctrination, you know, like, you want to know what skeptical is about? That was like a bunch of shows. And I finally got Richard Wiseman on the show with Rupert Sheldrake and got him to admit that Sheldrake was kind of right and stuff like that. And man, I was hooked, you know, to bring it back to a personal level of what the show's about. Invariably, I think people that stick around with podcasting for a long time, you have to have some kind of experience like that where you just, you're hooked, you know, and you feel like maybe you've kind of done something, uncovered something, kind of like a journalist would feel, you know, like, hey, no one ever really got that out. And now I got that out, and that's pretty cool.
That is cool. Very cool. Very cool. That's something about that dog. I know before we started, you and I were chatting a little bit, and you know, we were talking about the Hemisync, and you recently tried it out. I know you said you downloaded the app, and I've been doing it now myself. Wow, probably close to a year. You know, so when you talk about those psychic abilities amongst other gifts, these are some of the things that I have been experiencing.
What happened first?
Wow. The very first thing that happened, great question. Well, I'll share some of the experiences I have. I can't pinpoint the very first thing, but, well, let me start here. I'll just go over what I've learned about myself and the different gifts I've been gifted with. Psychic ability, speaking to those or communicating to those that have passed over, mental.
Because you got to break it down. Like psychic ability, like knowing, being able to read someone's mind, knowing when something's going to happen, you know, all sorts of different ways they break it down.
Absolutely. So pretty much all of the above, I have been able to tell people personal things that have happened in their life in the past. I have been able to tell people when they can expect a visit from a loved one. I've told people, hey, you're going to get a visit from a loved one, a cousin, an aunt, next Tuesday. And then they say, wow, you were right. I have had an experience where I talked to my wife's deceased grandparents, and I had this conversation with them, and it's all just, it just comes to me, right? And it was confirmed because I was able to tell her some things that she never shared with me about them. I had an experience where I was actually able to read my wife's mind one time as well. We were sitting on the bed, and it was just an experiment, right? I just wanted to see if I could do it. Someone told me how to do it. We were sitting on the bed, Indian style. We held hands. We both closed our eyes, took deep breaths. And I just told her to think of anything. And I tried to tell her, you know, and I wasn't confident I was going to be able to do it. And she was pretty much just like, hell no, he's not going to do this. So she goes, I'm just going to think of the most random thing. That's what she was thinking. So she did that. And then I said, are you thinking about pizza? You want to eat pizza? She said, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about, you know, because she just wanted to be random. But I have a sacred space in my closet, right, where I pray and meditate every evening. In that sacred space, during my prayer and meditation, I have visited the spiritual world, gone to different dimensions. I've seen demons. I've actually fought a demon with the assistance of Archangel St. Michael. So with that, I'll tell you about that. I saw a loved one, a family member. They were standing next to this probably 8 foot tall. It looked like a African totem pole, if you will. And it had this face, and this thing had its arm around my family member. My family member was looking terrified. All of a sudden, the thing reaches out to stab me or punch me, and we get physical. I got scared. I called on Archangel St. Michael to help me.
You're a Christian?
No, I'm not. I don't subscribe to any type of religion whatsoever. Just more so spiritual. I used to be a Christian. I used to label myself a Christian, but no longer. Archangel St. Michael comes swooping in. I see wings and all. I mean, like 1,000 miles an hour, just makes contact with this thing. It was over. It wasn't even a battle. So those are just a few of the interesting experiences I've had.
Let me just ask you this. So the connection between the connection between that and Hemisync, just direct. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just direct, like before the door was not open, and then after Hemisync, it just opened for you?
That is correct.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Hemisync, no doubt in my mind, has, without doubt, has opened me up to the spiritual world. You know, no doubt in my mind. Now, I've been faithful doing it every night. I mean, I probably missed a handful of nights over the last 9-10 months. I probably count on one hand how many times I have not did it. But it has been a life changer. Like for me, 2020 was a horrible year for a lot of people, but I can honestly say it's the best year of my life without doubt. I went skydiving too last August, and that was a game changer for me as well. So I had a lot going on to elevate me, to put me in this spiritual capacity, this spiritual world, that has really, really changed my life. So it's been amazing.
All right. I'm in. I'm going to give it a try. You know, like I said, I signed up. I listened to one, and I was kind of, I wasn't expecting, I'm just getting into it, you know, that I hate to even say anything, but I was like, there's something there. I'll just say it there. Just experiencing it just a couple minutes. I'm like, there's something there. I don't know if I'll be able to achieve what you did. It sounds like what you've done is pretty extraordinary. You must have some existing abilities that it's tapping into that I'm not sure I have, but I want to go down the path.
Now, I did have a lady tell me maybe 20 years ago that I was a psychic. I was like, what?
Right.
You know, no. Like, okay.
You're right.
That always stuck with me, but absolutely, it just made me think of that when you said I might have some pre-existing something there. But now I do I just downloaded a video off YouTube, Dr. Monroe. Yeah. Are you familiar? Yeah. And that's what I've been doing with his voice on there. It's a 43-minute guided meditation. And man, it's been amazing. Definitely amazing. So good stuff.
That is crazy. You know, what's crazy about that on another level is, you know, I love the openness and I also love that result, you know, like, hey, you know, I downloaded a video off of YouTube, I listened to it and bam, I'm fighting demons in the other realm. You know, I mean, think about that. And, you know, what's also kind of interesting about that, because I know you freaked a lot of people out with what you just said. And I know you also, you know, there's a lot of people out there that kind of have, they go the other way. I mean, they're kind of too excited about, you know, fighting demons and all that stuff. And then they're going to go seek that out in a way that, you know, might not be, at least I've experienced, some people don't really handle that really well, either part of it, you know, either shutting themselves off or opening themselves up too much. But leaving that aside, because that isn't what I really was going to say. I was just going to say, if you try and break that down, my experience of trying to say trying to stay sciencey like I do, the science is much more in your camp than it is in the Neil deGrasse Tyson, consciousness is an illusion, you know, shut up, life is meaningless, you know, just get your holiday, you know, get your Black Friday Visa card out and go wild. You know what? The science points more towards what you're experiencing. The consciousness is fundamental, that these other realms are out there and people are experiencing them. The near-death experience, science, you know, like doctors, they go, I have no way to explain it, but by every neurological model we have, that person had no brain activity or no brain activity that would yield consciousness. And yet they came back and they told us exactly how they were resuscitated from being dead. So I am in your camp in that sense, that my money would be that there's a definite reality to what you're talking about, because that's what I've been told by the smartest and best people I can find.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I live by the mantra that anything is possible and nothing is as it seems. In fact, that's a message I received actually probably about 6 years ago, you know, when I was living in San Diego. As I said, I'm not a religious person. I used to be. I was one of those kids that was raised in church. My mom drug me and my brother to church 2-3 times a week, sometimes more. But I got away from that, you know, because it just wasn't doing it for me, right? And once I decided to let go, it changed my world, changed my life. So, but there is definitely something to it, as you said, and as you said, science, they're coming out and saying that, which makes me think that somebody has had to know about these things for some time now, right? And if that is true, what I say, then why has it not been shared with the masses? Okay, I think you know where I'm going with this, right? Cover-ups. And you start talking about conspiracy theories and all types of crazy things that...
Well, hold up with the crazy things, right? Because...
Okay.
Connect what you just said with the Monroe Institute. And you touched on this in the episode I listened to on the MK Ultra stuff.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Now you're smiling, right. See, right? But we got to go there, and we have to kind of have a serious talk about this history and connect all these dots. Because, so, MK Ultra is, as you pointed out, in that very excellent show, and you kind of went through all the different, we don't even know all the different code names, but you went through some of them, you know, because it's not just Stargate. There's a Grill Flame, and there's, what's the other one? MK Offen, and there's a couple other ones that you mentioned on your show. But the point is, what you just said, I think, is super profound. I bring it up all the time, is like, take Stargate, because everybody knows the Stargate remote viewing, and it kind of gets a pass in that it's kind of glamorized, like, well, that's not so bad. They were spying on the Russian submarines because they were spying on us too. Well, maybe, but the guy who was running that program was also running the same program where they were drugging with LSD unsuspecting people, right? Mm-hmm. And he also ran the program where they were literally brainwashing people. I mean, just devastating, destroying people, trying to break them down to nothing so that they could build them back up. And they were doing a lot of really bad stuff. And the guys running that, the guys running the MK Ultra program, seem to have no compulsion, no moral guidance in terms of what they were doing. But more importantly, to your point, before I get on my little rant, they weren't inside the realms of materialistic science. They weren't. Yeah, they weren't. Consciousness is an illusion. They were way past that. They presuppose that there are these extended realms that you're talking about, right? That's why they were talking to Robert Monroe. That's why they were talking to anyone they could, because they said, okay, that seems to be a reality. How can we weaponize it? Meanwhile, everyone is academia. Anyone who says anything like that is being drummed out, laughed at, denied tenure, all the rest of that. Well, why? Who's behind that game? Who's behind, you know, saying one thing and doing another, doing the kind of bait and switch, you know, kind of thing? That needs to be not only exposed, but really thought deeply about, because if that game was going on then it's going on now. And it almost certainly is going on now.
Oh, absolutely. And I could only imagine on what level, right? On what level? Again, nothing is as it seems. So I want your thoughts on guys like Julian Assange and Edward Snowden. Are those guys legit? Are they heroes for people that believe like I do? Or are they just another piece put in place by these people, these sick people, to fool for trickery? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I have the same questions. And, you know, I just toss back and forth by one person's opinion versus another. I'll tell you what, I heard Julian Assange's dad talk about having Christmas with his son and how his son, 10 years ago when they had Christmas, it was like a big party. Hey, he's in the embassy, but let's all visit Julian. And then as the years rolled by, there were fewer and fewer and fewer people around the table till like the last year, it was just him and his son. Mm. And that doesn't sound to me like a guy who signed up for a secret government program deal. That sounds to me like a guy who's been screwed over in the way that it sure looks like he's been screwed over. Mm-hmm. It seems like they got what they wanted. There are no whistleblowers anymore. You're old enough. You're not a super young guy, but you're old enough to remember when there were whistleblowers.
Yes.
And they were, we had a respect for them. No, they've washed that out of the system.
Gone, huh?
I think.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, who would you point to? I mean, if you can't point to Julian Assange, because, you know, again, people are so, it's just the way things are, and they have such control of the media. Do you happen to remember, Justin, what they got him on, what he released that they really are trying to string him up for? You don't have to remember. It's a test, but you don't have to remember.
I don't recall. I do not recall.
He got that kid to release the Army drone video of a drone mowing down a group of innocent civilians.
Oh, my goodness. That's right.
And he released it.
Right.
And they said, that's, you can't do that secret. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm a journalist. How is this secret? How is this secret? We said this didn't happen. I have the video evidence to prove that it happened. It's in the public interest. Now you shouldn't release something like that. That's what he released, is that we were drone striking. And the voiceover, as you can imagine, oh, they're gone, you know, then they're, you know, so it's almost like triple more scary when you think, because we don't see any of that video. We don't see anything like that anymore.
Oh, no. Those things are ghosts, man. Out of here. Out of here. Definitely. Definitely. Jeez. Switch topics a bit. I want to know your thoughts on the Mandela effect. I'm sure it's something that you've looked into, researched, right?
It's another one of those that I just don't know what to make of it. You know, you what were the words you used a minute? Oh, nothing. You said nothing is what as it seems.
Nothing is as it seems. Yes, yes.
Yes. So I think that we're all grasping with terra firma, you know, trying to find terra firma, trying to find some ground we can stand on and go, okay, well, at least this is solid, you know. Man, nothing is solid. You know what I wanted to bring up, because we had just an interesting chat. Because I don't know the Mandela effect. But here's a space shot thing that relates to something we were chatting about a minute ago. So we're both born on the same day, June 8th.
That's right.
And we said that's kind of cool, you know. And then we were talking a little bit about, you know, just kind of astrology at kind of a super high level, Gemini stuff and this. I heard someone say the other day, and it blew me away, you know, if you even have an inkling that the astrology kind of is real, and most of us do, right? Because like, I meet you know, and there's this ease between us, and it's like, yeah, you know, Joe, talk to my wife, you know, same thing. So what does that mean, Justin? That means that the underlying principle behind that is that we are not only part of that stardust, but that stardust forming into planets rotating out there in the universe is somehow really affecting our life.
That's right. I mean,
that is, it's one thing to read, you know, astrology, you're a gem. Oh, you're a triple cap. Oh, you're this, you're that. It's another thing to think what the implications are of there being a reality to that, of us really being connected with the stars. It's just too much. It's just too much to even imagine.
That's great. And not only are we connected, but it's my belief that every single minute, every single second of our life is preordained. There's nothing new under the sun. Now, with that said, there can be different paths, right? Different realities we can take based on some of the decisions we make in life. In a sense, they're all happening simultaneously.
So many mystics have come back and said exactly that. But, you know, there's so many contradictions to that too. You know, not contradictions. Let me pull back on that. But unexplainable exceptions. So I don't know if you've checked out the Netflix series Surviving Death, but it's excellent. Something decent to watch on Netflix, a rarity.
Finally.
Yes. And it was top 10 for a while. And it's based on a book by a woman named Leslie Kane. And Leslie's pretty fantastic, and she's been on my show a couple times. Leslie has amassed a pretty impressive resume. She was one of the co-writers behind the New York Times UFO release. Remember in December 2017?
Yes.
Which I don't know if I want to make that, but Leslie is legit. I don't know if the story's legit or if she got played a little bit, but she wrote an outstanding book called UFOs, Generals and Government Officials Go on the Record. groundbreaking UFO book. It is, as the title says, you know, it's really top-notch people. And what she does, go outside the United States. Like, here's the highest ranking military official in Egypt talking about the, you know, the details of something that happened. You're like, wow, you know, that guy is legit. So, but Leslie then moved into talking about after death stuff. And she was the person behind this series, Surviving Death. And she also is in it as well. Long story, long way around the barn. One of the first stories she tells, the film tells, is this woman who has this incredible near-death experience. She is a physician, and she likes the kayak, and she's like down in South America at some elite kayaking thing. Kayak turns over. She's underwater, Justin, for 25 minutes or something like that. She is dead, like you should never come back from being dead. She has this unbelievable near-death experience. She sees, you know, meets God, has an incredible life-changing experience, is given the choice. This is back to what you just said, to come back or not come back. So now, you know, we're going to have to unpack that.
Right.
That's not preordained now, right? There's choice.
Okay.
Here's the second part of the story that's the killer. She decides to come back. She has kids. They say, on the way out the door, they say, and this is, I shouldn't kid about it. He goes, your son is going to die at an early age. He only has like 10 years left. Mm. Now, you said you're a parent, right? You guys have kids?
Yes.
I got four kids. Can you imagine living with that? Can you imagine living with that? And no. Her son was 8 at the time. They celebrated his 18th birthday, and she thought maybe this prophecy from God, from the other side, you know, had escaped, right? That's what we would all think. We'd like make a deal or something like that. Uh-huh. The kid walks out in front of a car and gets hit and killed, right? You know, months later. How do we make any sense out of that story? How do we make any sense out of any of that? Because on one hand, it contradicts what you're saying is a choice. On the other hand, it completely aligns with what you're saying. It's like, you can't change it. He's going to die. That's his time.
So he was going to die either way, whether she chose to come back.
I don't know.
Stay. I have no idea. I don't know, man. Asking the wrong guy. Oh my goodness. That is something, man. Wow. And that story sounds familiar. I seriously feel like I've heard that story somewhere before, about a doctor somewhere kayaking in like a white river, rapid river, get stuck underwater on a rock or something, and then has an experience. I don't, you know.
Yeah, but, yeah. Right? She was on the History Channel with it earlier, but okay. It's better. It's great wherever you get it. I think those near-death experience accounts, if anyone hasn't seen them, you can go to NDERF, you know, Near-Death Experience Research Foundation. A guy named Dr. Jeff Long, who I think is just extraordinary. He's been on the show a bunch of times. I kind of moved away from Christianity like you did, Justin. Mm. And I find those stories incredibly inspiring from a deeply spiritual level. There was a time in my life where I would go and just read a couple of accounts a day just to reconnect with, you know, that greater, it's just inspiring. It just takes you out of the stuff that we get caught up in and lets you see the bigger thing that we all know is there, you know.
Have you ever had a near-death experience or someone close to you?
Okay. Nope. Okay.
Got it. Now, personally, I've had two experiences.
Near-death experiences?
Yes. So when I was 3 years old, I had became ill and was at home with my parents. My dad worked afternoons. My mom worked mornings. She told me just to lay down in my bed you know, take it easy. Said, Mom, I don't feel good. Go to your room, lay down in your bed. She leaves out for work. My dad's somewhere else in the house doing his thing, whatever my dad was doing at 8, 9 in the morning. She leaves out, she's driving, and she remembers, damn, I forgot something. So she turns around, goes back home. And like any good mother, she wants to go in there and check on her kid, right? Just to see him one more time. She goes in my room, opens my door, goes in my room. I'm laying on my bed with my eyes in the back of my head. My face is like a deep purple color at this point. She starts freaking out, starts calling my dad, Jesse, Jesse, Justin, something's going on. So they jump in the car, drive me to Children's Hospital of Detroit. I get in the hospital, little Filipino nurse, my mom never forgets her, and my mom went to get in contact with her after this happened and come to find out no one knew anything about her. But the lady immediately comes up to us. My dad has me in his arms. She immediately comes up to us and she goes, he has pneumonia. We have to hurry. She takes me to the back. This doctor comes out of nowhere. They do a little operation, cut a hole in my side, stick a tube up through my lungs and drains the water off my lungs. I was about to drown. You know, I was about to drown. You know, doctor, eventually I stayed in the hospital like a week, week and a half. Doctor said another 30 minutes, an hour, I would have checked out, you know. Another experience. This is a little different. This is a little
on that different. On that first one, do you remember, Justin, about any were you at all conscious of any of that?
I was not. The only thing I do remember being in the hospital, because I remember this play area that looked really cool. I remember.
But you were inside your body the whole time?
I was inside my body the whole time. Yeah. Yeah. Now, the second experience I had was when I was in middle school, probably about 12 years old. We used to play this stupid game where two kids, one would like squat down, do maybe 30 deep breaths. The other would come up behind them and pick them up off their feet, doing like the Heimlich maneuver, right? And so I'm the smart kid and I'm like, do it to me, right? So we're in my mom's kitchen and they do that. And then I fell on the ground. And then I saw a white light, bright as can be. And then, and this sounds cliche, Alex, I saw my life flash before my eyes, like a movie reel. Literally every single second of my life. And it was fast, but it was vivid and it was everything. And I didn't miss any of it up to that point, 12 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And I was laying there and then I came to. And I thought, man, how long have I been laying here? Felt like I'd been laying there for like 8, 9 hours. By that time, all the other kids, they were in the other room. And I go over to them. I say, what happened? You know, they say, oh, you were just laying there. You just dropped and lay there. I was like, how long was I laying there? They said, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. And that was amazing to me for them to tell me that I was only laying there maybe 15 seconds. But it felt like I had just took like the best nap of my life and felt like I was laying there for hours. And I remember that bright light. It was almost a warm, fuzzy feeling too. And then I just saw everything play before my eyes. It was just, you know, I think I was like maybe right there. I obviously didn't cross over. I don't know. Maybe I did. I don't know. But I was there, like on the edge. But for whatever reason, I came back. So,
you know, there's so many parts of that that are consistent with what just thousands and thousands of other people have reported. And one of the things, and it also relates to maybe some of your other experiences, your out-of-body experiences and psychic experiences outside of space and time, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's something about consciousness and the way that we're filtering it, and we're creating this space-time continuum, and then there's this whole other thing that is completely outside of that. And that's just what you hear. You know, the other thing I love about that, sorry, well, I don't want to assume too much, but two remarkable stories. You kind of tipped your hand a little bit, but tell me, did your mom ever say anything about going and finding that nurse? And then they said, there is no one who works there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that day after I had that little minor operation, little surgery, and I was in my hospital room in the bed, my mom wanted to go. And she did. She went down there to the emergency room looking for the nurse. There's no nurse. And my mom was, no, she's about 5 feet tall, hair, shoulder length, name, whatever her name was. She was the first one to greet us as soon as we walked in the door. And she knew exactly what was going on with my son. As soon as we walked in the door, she knew what was going on with my son. No nurse. Said, ma'am, sorry, there's no 5 foot tall Filipino nurse here with shoulder hair, name Mimi.
Juanita, yeah.
Right.
You know, this is reported consistently. Not consistently. I shouldn't say that. This is not completely out of the ordinary. I love, and there's another, it's kind of a cheesy old 80s show, but it is like pre-science. I mean, this is where we should line up people and do dissertations, not on the, like we're talking about, you know, how corrupt the academic thing is. And it's just playing this phony game. Then these other guys are playing a different game, but even they're playing this dark MK Ultra game. And what they should be playing is the angel game and the miracle game. And how does that happen? So I'm watching the show on TV. Anyone can go watch it on YouTube, you know, miracles, you know, and it has, you know, it's kind of cheesy in the 1980s, but the stories are unbelievable. The story, I love it. I play this, I send this to everybody. I played it so many times my family gets tired of it. It's Christmas time. This family, they have this, you know, they wanted so badly to have a child. They finally have a child. They're in San Antonio, Texas, and their child is now going to die, you know. And the long shot hope is they take him in for this surgery, and they, you know, it's classic kind of thing. Don't have your hopes up, you know. And they said, the mom goes, you know, I'm just wondering, he's never even experienced Christmas. Can we just take him out and take him to the mall for an hour just to have, you know, an experience for us all to have this experience. And the kid is like really young, like 4 years old or something. So they look at him, apparently what's the kid's going to die anyway. Let him take him to the mall. They take him to the mall. And unfortunately they get to the line and the line for Santa is, you know, out the door, you know, and they're just, no, let's just stay here a little bit. Suddenly Santa looks up and goes, signals him, come forward. And he does the Santa thing, you know, says, what do you want for Christmas? He goes, I think, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have a new heart. You're going to have a new heart. And mom and dad look at it, look like, did you tell him, you know? And he has this twinkle in his eye. And the kid goes, you know, the story ends, but the next part. So the kid has the surgery, miraculous recovery. They can't believe it. They go back to the mall. They want to tell Santa. Santa isn't there. There's a different Santa. So they go to the Santa's helper. He goes, hey, where's the other Santa? You know, the Santa we met. I go, sorry, man. This is the only Santa that's there. He said, no, this is life-changing. I want to meet with the mall, the manager of the mall. They throw such a fit. The manager of the mall comes over and says, ma'am, I am sorry. We only have hired one Santa. Let's see. Are you sure it's this mall? Like, oh, yeah, it's the mall right next to the hospital. It's the only one we could have gone. No, there's only one Santa. It's not that
wow.
Santa. You know, it's your story. Santa. It is your story. And you'll find, you know, if you go looking for them, you'll find a bunch of them. I don't know why, like we're just saying, why isn't that studied scientifically? You can learn a lot from that, you know?
Angels, man.
Angels.
God sends his angels, man. To help those in need, I tell you that, and that is just such a, it's just heartfelt, you know, that to know that there's something or someone, whatever we want to call it, out there looking out for us, right? Now, why doesn't he look out for everybody when everybody wants it? I don't know. We don't know, but he does what he wants when he wants, right? and gives me hope. That's for sure.
And there is good, right? Like there is a moral imperative. There is good. There is evil.
And look up. Evil.
You don't have to do the evil. You can just do the good. The good's the whole game anyway. The game is really the good. The evil is just there to just spice things up a little bit, you know?
That's right.
I think we get hung up in particular the way things are right now in our culture. There's a lot of emphasis on the negative. There's a lot of emphasis on the evil. And I think just an honest look at the data again comes through with the fact that you can connect with the good. It's always there. It's always available. I think it's our birthright.
That's right. You can connect with the good. That is so, so good, Alex. And when I think of, well, how do we connect with the good? My belief is it's through the brain, right? I believe that the brain is a receiver. Okay. I know we people talk about the brain does this, does that. But when I think about connecting with the spiritual world, I believe that the brain is a receiver. Now, we have signals that come into this receiver. Some are from the light, some are from the dark, right? And then we have the option to do what we want with those. I think of the brain as a receiver, but then I think of the heart as more so of the brain, if you will, if that makes sense. And I was actually reading something recently where science is now saying that the brain, the heart actually functions or acts like a brain in itself or has a brain, something. I didn't go too deep with it, but.
Has like more, I remember something like that too. There's the heart math stuff, but then there's also like another way of measuring it in terms of intelligence would be that the heart is like more intelligent than I remember something like that too. I can't exactly put it all together, but yep.
Exactly. So, you know, when I think about, I know you asked me about my psychic experiences earlier. That is exactly how I receive information. They're downloads, they're hits. And it's just, they're coming through to this receiver. And then some are clearer than others. Majority of them are clear, but they just come through, man. They come through. I feel a buzzing sensation here if I focus in on something. I was actually part of a Facebook group as well, where I was doing readings every Saturday. The owners of the group have since closed it. It was probably about 3 weeks now, but I did that for about. Month and a half, 2 months. That was really cool. Helping people, right? And that's what I'm all about. That's what the Hidden Gateway is all about. Helping people unleash their human potential, right? I myself am a servant of humanity. I am here to do the Father's work or God's work, whatever we want to call it, the source. It's all the same. Whether someone practices Christianity, they're Buddhists, whatever. I think we're all on different journeys that lead to the same destination.
I'm with you to a certain extent. I do worry that, and a lot of people don't want to go there, but there's deception in this game too.
Yes, it is.
And because that in the way I understand it, so it's kind of cool. I love talking to people like you who have direct experience with this extended conscious knowing. And I respect that, but I don't over respect it. And I know that's not a word, I always want to compare and contrast it with what other people are saying and thinking and then find my own way, because I think that's all any of us, can do. The way I think about religion is religion has so systematically taken this direct link that we are capable of that you're talking about. And as soon as we have that connection, they jump in and go, no, hold on. Yeah, great. Glad you had that. Now, let me tell you what that means. Let me be the middleman, you know. They're going to jump in there. It will, you know. And what we need, I think, more is that direct experience. That direct experience with the source that we can have, and the disintermediation that religion through the ages, and every religion has done it. They've attempted to co-opt it, to control it, to control us, because, hey, man, there's a lot of benefit that you can have of controlling people, and there are people who are deceptive and who want material gains. And I just think anyone who is religious needs to ask that question. If I've had that, if religion has opened me up to having that direct spiritual experience, the kind that you're talking about, then, you know, as the Buddhists say, and I love this, you know, the raft carried you across the river. Put the damn thing down. You don't have to carry it on your back the rest of the journey. It got you across the river. Let go of the raft and walk on. You know, and that's, I just look at the sorry ass history that religion has of manipulating, coercing, and you know, abusing people. And I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, man. I was involved in it for a huge portion of my life, and that's why I broke free. And I feel closer to God now than I did when I was part of a religion. And I am closer to God, you know, that's just what it is. So, well, Alex, my friend, this has been great. Very, 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 I don't even know the word for it. It's just great, great time speaking with you, man. One thing that I would like to do, or ask you to do, if you will, is leave our listeners with a few words of wisdom that they can take with them as they go on their way.
Well, you know, in this book that I have, Why Evil Matters, and there's no, you know, you don't have to buy the book or anything, but I like where I came to at the end of it. And that is, to know two things that I think I've learned is, one is that we are more. And I mean, this is so much a part of who you are and what you are that you probably don't even, you know, get that. But so many people have bought into the thing that gets drilled into them in school, that you are this biological robot, that life is meaningless. You know, don't think too much about your expanded spirituality. No, do think about it. You are more, you are greater in all these ways that we're talking about. Like, that's what I thought was really cool. And we were talking about, like, at the very, you know, we're talking about astrology and stuff. Blows your mind to think we are connected. We are more. And the other thing that I love that we touched on this, and I love the way that you just were completely connected to it, is we are good. We are good. There is goodness in us. And we do bad things, you know, and we're guys, and we do, you know, guy stuff that, you know, and we're not proud of everything we've done in our life, you know,
That's right.
we are good. And the fact that we can see even when we haven't been good means that we've conquered that a little bit. Cause if we didn't, we'd think, oh, that's great. I just continue to do that. So, we are more in, and we are good. And it was something really simple, but to me, it's taken me a long time to get there.
Oh yeah, man. All of us. And that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. We are good. Yes, we definitely are good. Do we fall? Do we make mistakes? Do we have bad thoughts sometimes? Of course we do. But you know what? That's okay. I think it's important that people wake up each morning and try to be their best. Keep hope. Don't give up. That's a great thing about this life that we live here on this earth, is each day is a new opportunity, right? And with that opportunity, you can go out there and make the best of things. So thank you. Thank you. Great, great words of wisdom there. Let people know, if you will, where they can find you. And I know, you know, you had the book that came out recently, and where they can find you, what projects you have on the horizon.
So Skeptico, you know, you can find it's with the two Ks, Skeptiko. You can find it. Everything's there. You know, the books, anyone who's interested, please go do it. But the show is free. There's no paywall. There's no advertising. There's nothing like that, because to be honest, it doesn't cost that much to put these podcasts out. As you know, you don't charge anything for them, and it's just sharing information and having great conversations like this one. And, you know, it was fun, like I said, diving into your stuff and seeing where you're going with it. And, you know, we didn't get to talk about Joshua Cutchins, cause I thought you had a good chat with him. So we'll have to do it. We'll have to do this again, down the road, you know, and we'll reconnect and see where each of us are at and where it's taken us, because, you know, 6 months from now, we got to get together and you got to check in on my Hemisync experience.
See? Yes, I do. And I will. Okay. I want to know all about it, man.
I will be checking in with you, but you check in with me too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, hey, to the listeners of the Hidden Gateway podcast, I thank you as well for joining us. Until next time, be safe, be loved, be free. Alex, thank you so much again, sir, for being with us.
Thank you, Justin. It was a pleasure.
All right. The Hidden Gateway, out.